Well, Jesse Filer is a dear friend who joins us this morning to talk about changing and updating devices and acquiring the correct devices for your tasks. This comes at a very good time in my life. I'll explain more in a moment. We're managing more data than ever before and moving it around all the time. We need lots of compatible apps and data formats. The more flexible your tools, the more you can do with limited hardware resources. Jesse Filer helps people and organizations get to know and use new technologies. Projects have included building the page catching module for the Prodigy web browser for Mac in the early days of the web, location-based apps for iPhone and iOS, as well as books and classes on new technologies. His latest book, I Hold in My Hand, Implementing iOS and Mac OS Documents with the Files App, Managing Files, and Ensuring Accountability. Or compatibility. Yes, not accountability. Compatibility, although that too. Jesse Filer, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Wonderful. Very nice to have you with us. Thank you
Good
very
to
much.
Be here.
So you want to talk this morning about when it's time to change an update device. And so Here's my question for you, and then I'll get into my real question for you. But a lot of this comes out of sometimes necessity. In other words, the old one just isn't working the way it used to, so we need to upgrade, right? And then it comes down to what do we need anymore, and how much of this stuff do we want, and trying to keep it all under one roof, as it were. Is that a fair assessment?
That's fair. You're talking about computers, right?
I'm talking about...
Not people.
I'm not talking about people. I'm talking
about... We're going to get back to the similarity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've got my nephew is graduating from high school next week, and we're going to go shopping for his college computer this week, which will be his graduation gift. And the question is, well, what does the kid need? And I don't, you go on to, he and I have decided that, oh, it'll be an Apple product. But then, you know, do you want the Air? Do you want the MacBook Pro? Do you want the MacBook? What's best for a kid who's about to go off to college? And there lies the issue, which I think is the point of our segment today, isn't it? Of finding out, trying to determine what it is that you need.
Absolutely.
Okay. So how do we do that?
How do we do that?
I'm gonna invade your space with the microphone. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I put, I did a little spreadsheet of what the choices are and some of the issues. One of the points that I raise when people ever ask me that question, which is, what constraints do you have? Because you're going shopping for something.
Right.
What are the limits that you have to deal with? And when I ask that question, people usually say, well, I don't want to spend more than I have to.
Price is a limit.
Or more than $10,000. You know, those are the limits that we think about. But the other limit that's really important in a case like this is in the environment where, what is it, nephew?
Yes.
Your nephew is going to be using this device.
Yeah.
What constraints does that environment pose?
Right.
So does it say, we, the college, support any device as long as it runs VisiCalc?
Okay.
Which has not been around for 4,000 years. But if you are told that it has to be this kind of device, or we only support these apps, or we only support whatever, that's your shopping list.
Yeah.
And ideally, if it's a good school, that list is blank. So the school takes it on to themselves to say, okay, we will support anything you bring in, as long as it has certain...
Yeah.
As long as it turns on.
Yeah. Yeah. And typically, whether it be a Chromebook or a Mac or a tablet Surface, they seem to be, most colleges seem to support all of those.
By now, they seem to have, I think the barriers are coming down. They've realized that it just doesn't work. This is part of started a few years ago the notion of bring your own device.
Yes.
Where companies were saying, okay, we've given up on standardizing. Bring your own device in, and as long as it can run email and messaging and so forth, we in the IT department will take care of that.
So when you go on and then you think, okay, well, I have a choice. And again, I'm just using this as an example. But you have the MacBook, you have MacBook Air, you have MacBook Pro. And you think, well, which one do I need? And then you look at the MacBook Air and you say, well, what does that have going for it? Well, it's lighter. There's one thing. That's nice. That's personal preference, convenience. And it's a little bit cheaper than the MacBook Pro. And then you look at it and say, oh, maybe it's the base price of it's $1,200, $1,300. Then you start with the options. You know, do you want more memory? Do you want this Retina display? Do you want the touch bar, so forth? And then that will incrementally up it by $100 to $200, depending on what you add on to it. Then you go over and you look at sort of the MacBook Pro, which is all brand new and gleaming and beautiful, which is $1,799 base price, but it's got all that stuff included.
So you've decided that you're going shopping and you think that the college is you can manage the college constraints. You
Correct.
Don't have to worry about those.
Yes.
So, and you want an Apple device. That's fine. And so now you are choosing between a MacBook Air and MacBook Pro, right?
Probably.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Could you just...
I'm only paying for it. I do want the kid to make the decision as to what he wants.
Okay. And if his decision is that you should just give him your credit card, that's not sufficient?
Well, that's been the case for most of his life. But sure, yeah, that would work,
too. I think if he were to ask me this, I would say that's what you...
just take it and run.
That would be my advice. But fortunately for you, I'm not giving advice.
Good.
So you said you want an Apple device in between a MacBook Pro and a MacBook Air. Fine. But from the beginning when you started this discussion...
Yes.
And you said you wanted an Apple device. I can understand reasons for that. How did you make the jump to the fact that if it's an Apple device, it's going to be a MacBook Pro or a MacBook Air?
For two reasons. One was the size of it, so 13 inches. So the MacBook, there are three choices, right? MacBook, MacBook Pro, and MacBook Air, my understanding.
I would disagree with you on that, but go ahead. It's your show.
Well, what do you disagree with?
Why did you throw out iPads?
Great question. Great question. Okay. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that. Meaning, why wouldn't I include an iPad or an iPad Pro? And that's a very good question. I don't know. I was thinking because, and I guess it becomes... in the college's suggestion, back to your earlier point, of a laptop. And they use that term laptop. They don't use the term tablet. So that would be my answer to your question, which I realize upon saying to you is probably a weak answer to your question.
Well, it's a weak answer. It's a good answer for you because you're just a relative. you're the kindly uncle.
Right.
But if that is... the documentation that the college has given to you, or to your nephew, I would suggest that you might want to give him a few months at school and then consult with the college management about why they have decided that tablets are not satisfactory. What can a tablet do? What can a laptop do that a tablet can't do?
Now...
ask that politely, because they'll get defensive. They will get very defensive.
Okay, so here is without naming the school. Okay, here's what I got. Why should you get a PC or a laptop? Those are the two that they say. While an increasing number of people prefer the convenience of a laptop, this is a matter of personal preference. Regardless of your choice, ITS recommends purchasing an extended warranty, blah, blah, blah. And then they talk about the different schools, which talk about Microsoft Access and things that are available for Macs and so forth. And so here is the answer to your question, sir. Can iPads or tablets be used as primary computing devices? While iPads and tablets work for many things, they are not fully compatible with all university IT services. Some features and functions may be difficult to access or even inaccessible with these devices. A computer or laptop is the best way to ensure access to the technology to lead your student to success.
Can I make a comment?
Again, I have not named the institution, so you're more than welcome.
If a hypothetical institution presents that information,
yes,
this is sort of in the form of a personal question. Is it too late for your nephew to choose another school?
Well, I would hate for that to happen because we've already gone so far down this road. I think he's committed to it now.
Okay, because that is, you in the intro, you were talking about flexibility.
Yes.
What was that sentence again?
Let me see. I'll read it again.
I remember it, but you have it in your hand.
About changing and updating devices and acquire the correct devices for your task. I don't know. I may have just made that up on the fly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because yes, you have to be flexible with the new technologies and the new things that we're doing. And that flexibility extends beyond the hardware to the people. And when people say, you know, our IT department cannot support this breed of devices, they will eventually. But you've got like 4 years to make them do it.
Right.
To seriously answer your question, I would say the MacBook Pro is a very good device. I just bought one. And it's very good. It's been around. There's a new version of it out, but it's been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
It's flexible. It's good. Even the smaller size is pretty good. Is very good. It's a comfortable device to use, and for me, in terms of size and in terms of weight. And Apple, most of the manufacturers come out with an annual release of new devices and new operating systems.
Yeah.
And we have we've had a demonstration from Apple of the new operating system for Macs and for iOS devices. And it looks very good. Developers have the initial versions of those operating systems, and they look very good. Apple, I think all of the manufacturers do some variation on this. Apple took the last 2 years, and they said they were not going to really release new features. They spent the last 2 years, and they said this publicly, they were going to spend the last 2 years cleaning up the code, making it more efficient, getting rid of bugs and so forth, because they sort of got, and it happens all the time, they got a little bit ahead of themselves and they'd released a lot of new features and there was a little cleanup necessary. So we don't have blockbuster new features floating around now, but we have very fast and very powerful old features that work very, very well. So that's the argument in favor of the MacBook Pro.
So in the just 2 minutes that we have left here, is it just in overall in what we're talking about today about changing and updating devices, what's the best way to go about this of understanding your personal usage and understanding the technology and then figuring out the inevitable? I mean, we all have this when we buy our cars, too. You know, do we buy it now or do we wait for the new model to come out?
Well, if one thing just to confuse things a little bit more.
Yep.
I think MacBook Pro is a really good device. If you can wait for or buy it now, and when the new version of the operating system is released in the fall, that's a direct quote from Apple, in the fall.
Yeah.
If you go to a slightly cheaper device like the MacBook Air, when you get the new operating system, look at the price of a MacBook Air and an iPad Pro, because you'll be able to use the iPad Pro as a monitor for the Mac.
Oh, that's great.
This is something, this is the big thing. A lot of people don't think it's flashy. Some people think it's extraordinary. I happen to be in that camp. Because what it means is we've now got these two devices that can work together. A lot of the vendors have been trying to do this, combining tablets and phones with desktop devices. And Apple has taken, as they often do, a different route than the other companies. And what they've done is they've been thinking about it, and instead of coming up and releasing this big, you know, ta-da, this is what we've got, what they've done is they've worked on the iPad operating system and used the new iPad operating system as a bridge to the composite device.
Now, in our moment that we have left, in the chart, what do you have up on your website to help people figure all this out?
I have the spreadsheet of what device can do what.
And what I take from this is that pretty much all of them can do email. Right.
Yeah. And my can opener can do email.
Yeah. And then but the laptop and desktop, with the exception of storing lots of data, pretty much can do the same thing.
Yeah. And which comes back to flexibility of the user. Storing a lot of data is necessary if the user is not comfortable with using things like cloud storage.
Right.
Storing a lot of data on your device is really necessary if you are not comfortable with manipulating data.
And the same thing with the enhanced tablets of upgrading hardware or writing simple code.
Yes.
Difficult or more difficult. Or you can do it?
Simple code you can write on a tablet. But advanced writing, I can't write an app on a tablet.
You would need him.
And nothing has come down the pike where you can use Python or something on a tablet.
You can find all of this available on Jesse's website at champlainarts.com. He does his homework for us and places it there. Champlainarts.com. Again, the name of the new book is Implementing iOS and Mac OS Documents with the Files app, which is out and looks very cool. Jesse, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Pleasure to be here.
Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.